Good morning, church. Let's find our way back to our seats, please. I have the honor of reading God's word to you this morning. And this morning we are reading out of Revelation 3, verses 1 through 6. And the word of God says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot this name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
Amen. Thank you, Claudia. Thank you. Welcome to the Anchor, you guys. We're in the fifth church, the fifth address to the churches in Asia. And so we got two more to go. Welcome. If this is your first time to the Anchor, a few new faces. We're glad you guys are here. We're in a tough place in Scripture. The message this morning, that verse is heavy, and I'm excited to preach it to you guys, excited and faithful that Christ Jesus will do what he wants to do through his word. So let's just dive in. I want to tell you a little bit about, here's the Wikipedia on Sardis. So Sardis is really old. It's established as late as 1500 BC. That's really old. Sardis is located in present-day Turkey. All of the churches that we've been seeing, they're in this like kind of circle around modern-day Turkey. Historically, Sardis was known as the capital of the Lydian kingdom. Any of you historian buffs, I don't know what that means, but maybe it means something. I tried to look it up. I couldn't find it. The city was renowned for its wealth. They developed the first system of gold and silver coinage. Here's what's most interesting about Sardis. It was known for being the best defended city because it's set on top of a 1,500-foot mountain. And on top of this mountain were very, very steep sides, almost impossible to climb. The soldiers in Sardis felt really safe. They were overly confident in the natural defense of their city. No way the enemy can make it up these steep mountainsides. So they weren't diligent to defend it. They didn't watch over it. They basically fell asleep. Twice, Sardis was conquered by different opponents. Obviously, the city no longer exists, but once they were wealthy. Once they were so well defended, now they're gone. The title of my sermon this morning is Wake Up. Our text today is a sobering reality of the condition of the church. Just like Sardis, we can fall asleep. We can think we are so well defended. We can think our works are making us alive, but the reality is some of us are actually dead. Dead churches get conquered by Satan. Oh, church, please wake up. The enemy shouts so loudly for us to be tolerant, and so we listen. Satan is always infiltrating the church. He's always using false teachers. He's always planting weeds among the wheat. Is there any wonder why the church today looks so much like the world? Weeds look so much like wheat. A lot of us are asleep. We aren't protecting the church. We're too busy tolerating sin. Everyone is professing Christ, but only a few are possessing him. Only few possess a genuine saving faith that produces holiness. Our churches today are filled with hidden reefs, waterless clouds, and fruitless trees. Our churches today are filled with Christians who need to wake up. Church, I pray that we will wake up. The text this morning is going to show us three areas we need to wake up in. First, it's this: Christ is displeased with dead works. He says in five of these addresses in the book of Revelation, "I know your works." And today he tells the church, "Your works are not complete." So I want us to talk about that. I want us to look at that. Secondly, we need to remember, read, and repent. Christ is never honored by a dead heart. We need to remember that we have been brought to life by the gospel. Jesus is saying, wake up. You're alive. Remember you're alive. We need to hear his perfect and sufficient word. And so the text says, keep it. We need to repent of looking so much like the world. Lastly, our text gives us the image of worthy Christians walking with Christ in white. The garments of Christ's righteousness are so glorious, guys. They are so brilliant and pure and good. We must stay awake to avoid spills and stains. Let's pray. Oh God, awaken us this morning through the power of your gospel. Holy Spirit, strengthen your church through faith in the glorious Son. God, I pray all of this, especially for myself. I pray that all of us wake up and we walk in a manner worthy of your calling and election. Amen. Okay, before we jump into our first point, I want to address how each of these churches starts. So in our text this morning, it begins this way: the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. So the description today is seven spirits, seven stars, the words of the one who holds the seven spirits of God, who has the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. Seven, as we know, represents perfection. It represents completion and fullness. And so the words of Christ Jesus are full. They are perfect, and they lack nothing. Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the preeminent, and he is the fullness of God. These words, the seven spirits, are the Bible references Isaiah 11, verse 2. I'll read it real quick. And there's seven descriptions of Christ Jesus here in Isaiah. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Christ Jesus is complete and he's full. He has the seven stars, which means the seven elders of the churches. That is encouraging to know that Christ Jesus is perfectly holding the churches. The Bible teaches that we are complete in Christ because of his fullness and perfection. He alone becomes our atoning Savior. This is really important. As we dive into our first point, we're going to see the need of Christ completing our works. The one who has the seven spirits of God, the one who holds the leaders of the churches, he's the only one who can perfect our works. So let's look at our first point. It's titled, "I Know Your Works," and we're going to exposit verses 1 and 2 of the text. Jesus says, "I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. The address to Sardis does not begin with praise. There is quick condemnation to the angel of this church. The messenger of this church was obviously doing works for the Lord. We can assume that he's working hard to teach his people. We can assume he's doing all the right things. He's doing ministry. He's probably serving in his community. He's probably loving on his people. Jesus says he has the reputation of being alive. On the outside, he's obviously looking good. He's doing all the right things on the outside. But Jesus is looking at the inside. He's gazing straight into the thoughts and the intentions of this pastor's heart, and he says, you are dead. Your works look good, but they are not full. They are not complete. This is a terrifying assessment from the one who holds the churches in his hands. As terrifying as this sounds, and it is, Jesus is still gracious to the messenger of Sardis, despite his hypocrisy, despite that he looks alive on the outside, yet on the inside he's dead. Jesus extends his mercy and his love to this man. He extends mercy to the church. He gives them an opportunity to repent. And he says, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. I've not found your works complete in the sight of my God. What makes a church look alive when they are actually dead? What kind of works look like they are complete, but when Jesus Christ the judge looks at them, they're incomplete? The London Baptist Confession, chapter 16, section 1 and 2, define what good works are. And if you guys know anything about the confessions, this is a group of men who said, we want to get together and we want to take what the Bible says and we want to put it in writing so that we can't foul this up. And so the London Baptist Confession is not a doctrine of man. No. It is a doctrine of the Word of God. Just want to make that clear. Chapter 16, section 1 and 2 of our London Baptist Confession says this about good works. I think this is really neat. Good works are only such as God has commanded in his holy word, and not such as without the warrant thereof are devised by men out of blind zeal or upon any pretense of good intentions. Listen to how Jesus says that in Matthew 15:9. Jesus says, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Isaiah 29, verse 13 says, these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Section 2 of the confession says this: these good works done in obedience to God's commandments are the fruits and evidences of a true and lively faith. And by them, believers manifest their thankfulness, strengthen their assurance, edify their brethren, adorn the profession of the gospel, stop the mouths of adversaries, and glory God, whose workmanship they are, created in Christ Jesus thereunto, that having their fruit unto holiness, they may have the end, eternal life. You guys, a church will look alive when it's doing all the things man has commanded. a church will look so lively. It will look so exciting, and people will be drawn to it. Oh, they'll be drawn to it because it has a reputation of doing all the right things, but it's doing everything man's way. But the truth is, they are dead if they aren't living on the very words of God. Every work that flows from a church, if it is not rooted and grounded in the holy word of God, in the complete, in the full, and in the perfect word of God, it's incomplete and it's dead. Jesus Christ, the judge, deems it dead. I grew up in a charismatic church, like many of you probably did. Sadly, they never taught the full counsel of the Bible. They used a scripture or two as a reference. They prayed long, spirit-led prayers. Every Sunday, I was stirred up by emotion, by really crafty sermons, by music. Oh, such beautiful music. By pressure to walk up to the front and give my life to Christ. I didn't know it then. I thought that I was following God, but I was following doctrines of man. I felt so alive at church. I volunteered for everything. I invited all my friends to church. But when I look back on that time in my life, I was asleep. I looked so much like the world. I was polluting myself with sin, all my works dead, incomplete, because they were not wrapped up in the fullness of the gospel. Church, if your mind and your heart and your attention are not fixed on Christ and his word, then you are in a dangerous place. You are asleep and you need to wake up. The Bible says, be careful when you think you're okay. Sardis thought they were okay. The Bible says, be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. You might think you're doing all the right works, but Jesus sees you. And if you hear him this morning, if you hear him say, wake up, then wake up. Respond. Here's a paraphrase of those good works which were talked about in the London Baptist Confession. I want to just paraphrase them for you. And I want to pray that as a church we do these. Good and complete works aren't always the works that we can see outwardly, but they are always the works which God sees inwardly. And though we can never, church, we can never do any work perfectly, we're not Christ. We can't do these works perfectly, but God is nonetheless pleased and satisfied. If our works flow from faith in Christ, then God is so glorified. He sees our works and he says, good job. And so here's that paraphrase. There's kind of five of them. I think these are beautiful, six of them. These are works that I pray we all do. We, as true and genuine believers, should manifest thankfulness. As true and genuine and as believers who are alive because of the gospel, we should strengthen our assurance. As believers who are alive, as believers who are not sleeping, we should edify the brethren. We should edify the church. Believers who are alive in Christ, oh, I love this, should adorn the profession of the gospel. Believers who are alive should stop the mouths of adversaries. Quit being tolerant. Quit being sleepy. Defend the church. Believers who are alive, believers who are not asleep, should be the workmanship of Christ to the end of their lives. So that's the first one. We talked about works. Number two, let's talk about waking up to to remember. We need to remember. We need to read, and we need to repent. And so we'll exposit verse 3. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Jesus will not tolerate false teaching and dead works centered on man. He will not tolerate an unrepentant heart. And so he issues three separate commands to the elder and by extension to the church. The first command is remember. Remember what you have received and heard. The church at Sardis was not remembering the gospel that they had heard and received. The second command is keep it. Jesus is commanding the church in Sardis to obey the gospel they received. Keep it. Don't just remember it. Don't just receive it. Keep it. The gospel always requires an active faith, a genuine response. And so the command from King Jesus is keep it. The third command is repent. Jesus tells them, enough is enough. I am tired of your slumber. I'm tired of you forgetting my perfect words and turning to man's doctrines, turning to your sinful desires. You must repent. In John MacArthur's commentary, he talks about what Jesus means when he says that. Jesus says, this is terrifying. Jesus says, when I will come like a thief in the night. And MacArthur says that he's not referring to his second coming. He's referring to a sudden and unexpected coming to his unrepentant dead church to inflict harm and destruction. Church, there are so many Christians who are asleep. And they are asleep because they've only been taught a Christ who loves them and gets them. And they've never been taught a Christ who demands repentance. Jesus Christ is complete. He is the fullness of God. He is loving. He is gracious. And he is so patient to his people. But he is also a just judge. He can and he must examine those who claim to be his church. What we've seen in a few of the churches already is that Jesus is fed up with the church. He's fed up with sin. He's fed up with unrepentance. He's fed up with disobedience. And as Ramon put it in his sermon, he said, Jesus is basically saying, if you guys don't repent, I will either break you or take you. Now that is a terrifying reality, but it's true. And it's true because Jesus said it. If you don't wake up, I will come like a thief in the night. Church, we need to wake up and remember what we have heard and received. We need to be reading our Bibles, saturating our minds in the gospel. We need to repent of our sleepy behavior. Repent of your sin and your disobedience. Be careful when you think that you stand. Like Sardis thousands of years ago, don't let your guard down to sin. You could quickly, quickly be conquered. Colossians 1:5, just a glorious, glorious gospel truth. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of truth. We need to wake up, you guys, to our works. We need to wake up to remember and to read and to repent. And lastly, this is a glorious picture. We need to wake up and walk with Jesus in white. Let's look at verses 4-6. Yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. How sad. The church in Sardis looked so alive on the outside. They probably had a large number of members. But Jesus says only a few names in Sardis, only a few in Sardis are walking with Jesus, possessing Jesus. Only a few are walking in white. Only a few have not soiled their white garments. Only a few are walking in the completeness of Christ and his gospel. The Jews wore white garments to festivals and to weddings. And picture with me, these white garments, brilliant white garments. Picture that you're wearing one of those garments and you're on your way with your friends and with your family, and you're on your way to a greatly anticipated wedding celebration. I mean, everyone is excited. You look good. You look like Sam in that white shirt, that bright white shirt. You look good. And you're ready. Now just imagine for a moment that you grab some mud. You grab mud and you smear it all over these brilliant white garments. Like, imagine that. Like, you would not do that. That's absurd, right? Like, that's the craziest thing you would ever think of doing. Nobody in their right mind would do that. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the most brilliant, the most glorious garment that we can wear. We wear the righteousness of Christ. We walk with Christ. He's with us. He's in us. We wear his righteousness. Those who walk hand in hand with Christ, those who wear the righteousness of Christ, you would never in your right mind smear or stain or pollute that precious garment. You wouldn't do it. The gospel is full. It's complete and it's holy. So Christ Jesus, listen, Christ Jesus, Sam alluded to this. I love that he said this. Christ Jesus never gives his people a license to sin. No, it's the opposite. As those who are truly saved, those who are truly walking with Jesus, you don't want to sin. You want to be holy. You want to keep your garments bright. You want to keep them clean. We want people to see that we're walking with Jesus. We want people to see Jesus. Oh, church, we would never want to mar or to stain the beauty of Christ as he walks hand in hand with us. Church, the message today from Jesus Christ is to wake up. It's to stay alert, and it's to strengthen yourself with his words. Because here's what happens. Sometimes on our way to that wedding feast, we get sleepy. Sometimes we let our guard down, and that's when we have spills. And sadly, some of us are so sleepy and we're so off guard. We might even trip. We might even fall. We might even fall into that nasty mud. And it does. The garment gets dirty. It does. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is marked by repentance and belief in the gospel. There will be periods in your life where you stumble and you get mud on your garments. But if you have an ear to hear, church, the gospel is the evidence that God has given you his son, and because of his son, you have been granted to hear, and the Spirit of God that now resides in you till the day you die, and through the works of the Spirit, you will hear that voice say to you, come, come, walk with me. Walk with me in white. If you've fallen recently, if you feel dirty this morning, please hear the voice of your King say, come to me and let me wash you in my word. My word is truth. Hear the voice of Jesus say, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The Spirit of God testifies to his children that they are alive in Christ. And may the Spirit of God lead you into repentance, and let the Spirit of God, through the words of Christ, wash your garment. And his glorious gospel will keep you, and it will guard you, and you will keep walking right to that wedding feast. Our text this morning concludes like this. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and will never blot, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I love, I want to share with you a beautiful scripture from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. This is the word of God. Listen to what it says. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and your election. If you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ. That verse represents us walking hand in hand with Jesus in white. And as we wrap ourselves in the gospel, church, you're not going to fall. You're not going to get all nasty. You're going to just keep walking straight ahead to that wedding feast. Praise God for that truth. We're done. Hey, look at 33 minutes. Where's, do I get a little hand clap for, No, I want my words to be few, and I want, and I, the word of God stands all by itself. It does not need me to make any claims for it. So we are here, we're now at the time of our communion. And so I'd like to invite the deacons, the elders, to come up. The sacrament of communion is not necessarily a physical act, because any dead person can take communion. In fact, every Sunday, sadly, there are dead people who take it. There are people who look alive on the outside, and they have good reputations, but they have not been made alive by the living and the pure words of Jesus Christ. And this morning I pray, I want you to take communion, but I want you to take communion this morning as a remembrance that you are alive. Take communion this morning because you are remembering the finished and the complete work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take communion this morning and be washed inwardly. A lot of us, our garments are a little bit dirty. In Revelation, it says that our garments are washed white in the blood of Jesus Christ. Take communion this morning and be washed inwardly. Keep his commands in the depth of your soul. As we take communion this morning, before, repent. Repent and just come to the Lord. Come to the Lord with a broken and a contrite heart and say, Lord, I'm sorry, but praise God that your word makes me clean, has made me clean. As we take communion, I pray that we hear the voice of Jesus confessing our names before the Father and the angels. So this morning as we take communion, I want us to eat and drink and be so excited on our journey to this wedding feast. Amen. So come on up and let's take communion. Come and receive communion, and we'll take it together. On the night that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, and he said to his disciples, he said, "This is my body broken for you." And we know that this represents completeness in Christ. And so we take it. And in a like manner, he took the cup and he gave thanks for this cup. And he said, "This cup is the covenant, the new covenant that is shed in my blood." Church, drink this and remember that the finished work of Christ's blood has made us clean. We love you, Lord, and we praise you and we thank you. Thank you for your words. Your words are loving, they're perfect, they're pure, they are hard to wrestle with. Jesus, thank you that we do not wrestle alone. Your spirit is alive in those whom you have brought to life through faith. Lord, you have brought a dead sinner like myself to life. And so I praise you. I praise you and I thank you, Lord. Would you wake up your church, wake up your people? Lord, just cause us to desire to walk in white with you, Jesus. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.